Good afternoon, everyone. As Rabbi Shabtai just mentioned, I want to thank our sponsors, the Froelich Financial Group, as always, the overall sponsorship of our afternoon kollel and this week's learning, sponsored again by Leo and Debbie Petrover in memory of his father, Shlomo ben Arav Moshe Avraham. We hope that you'll each take a week to sponsor the learning at the 2 days, soon to be 3 days of the afternoon kollel. And minimally, if you're not going to take a week to sponsor financially, at least make sure you bring a friend to the kollel. Okay, and on that condition, I continue to give you the page. Where's Phil Zimmerman? Phil, I'm giving it because they're supposed to bring a friend. That was the deal. We're on Lamed Amud Beis, 30B in Kedushin, towards the bottom. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. If you're looking on the page I handed, there's a bracket. If you're looking in your own Gemara, kol hakavod to you. On page Lamed, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, 7 lines up. Tana Rabbanan. Everyone see us? Namar, it says, Kavedes Avich Vesimecha, we have an obligation to honor our father and mother. V'chei Namar, Kavedes Hashem Me'oncha. It also says you have to honor and love Hashem. Just like we have a mitzvah to honor Hashem, to show kavod to Hashem, so too we have a parallel mitzvah, which seems to be related to it, of honoring Hashem. Hishvi HaKosov Kibud Avim L'Chavod HaMakom. And by the fact that we use that same word kavod to describe our relationship and attitude towards the Ribono Shel Olam and towards our parents, it means that there is a parallel, a connection between the two. Ne'amar, the pasuk says, Ishimo v'aviv tira'u, a man, his mother and father, he should have awe of. V'ne'amar as Hashem alokecha tira'u v'yoso sa'avod. It also says you have to have awe of Hashem and serve Hashem. So both when it comes to the mitzvah of kavod, and when it comes to the mitzvah of yira, both when it comes to honoring parents and having awe and reverence of parents, each of these mitzvahs express themselves, are applied differently. There's a parallel to the attitude we have towards Hashem. We have to honor parents, we have to honor Hashem, we have to have awe of parents, we have to have awe of Hashem. Ne'amar. Mikalal of Ima Mosimas, we now have a third parallel. Pasuk tells us that if you curse your father and mother, then you get the death penalty. V'namar, and it also says Ish ki kalel eloka v'nasah cheto. Similarly, it says that if you curse God, v'nasah cheto, then you bear your iniquity. It doesn't say Mosimas. Here the parallel is not entirely, not exact. Hishva kasa birkas aveim lebirkas amakom. So again, we have a parallel. If you curse your parents, it is as if you curse God. And lastly, the fourth parallel, behaka'a, the prohibition of hitting your parent. Vada yefshar. So, of course, you're punished for hitting your parent. Can you hit the Ribono Shel Olam? Kadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. He's not a physical being. Therefore, this parallel, you can't hit him. Vada yefshar. V'chein bedin. And all these parallels, the first three at least, which are working parallels, all make sense. Kavod, Yira, and Mekalel. Why? Shloshtan Shutfimbo. Because the truth is, it's not that you could say, what do you mean? What does my relationship with my parents have to do with Hashem? What does my attitude to Hashem have to do with my parents? It's all intertwined. And how is it all intertwined? Because the truth is, there's a partnership of three taking place. What does that mean? Rashi. Shlosha Shutfenheim, says Rashi, last Rashi on the Amud. Beforesh bebrais mesachas nida. Ish mazria loven shebo. Ish mazras odem shebo. Kodesh Baruch Hu nofeach po neshama, mara'ayin shmias ozen v'dibur. Each of the three partners contribute. The man and woman each contribute physically, DNA, genetics, to the makeup of the child. Not our time now. How does science parallel the understanding of our rabbis? The man gives the white component. The woman gives the blood, the red component. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives not the physical component, the DNA, but the neshama. He breathes the neshama and animates, makes a living animated being out of this physical being. So you see, it requires all three. Kadosh Baruch Hu could desire a neshama to enter this world, but there needs to be a union of a husband and wife, a union of a man and woman, a union at least of the ingredients and materials in a laboratory. The physical materials have to come together to create conception in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to plant, to breathe that neshama into it. So on the one hand, a man and woman can mix the ingredients from day till night, And unless the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills a healthy neshama, we know, unfortunately, many who suffer or struggle with infertility, unless the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills the neshama for it to be a living being, the mix of the ingredients does nothing. On the other hand, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu could will the neshama, but unless there is conception, unless there is the mixing of the ingredients. So therefore, the Gemara concludes, it is in fact Shlosha Shutfin. There are three partners. And therefore, the attitude we bring towards our parents and the attitude we bring towards Hashem are all intertwined. They're not separate mitzvos. They're not independent, but they overlap. We'll come back and see what that means more in a moment. The Makna, the Hafla, points out that when it comes to Mekalel, because you can be Mekalel both your parents, you could curse your parents and curse Hashem, therefore, when you curse your parents, it's as if you cursed Hashem, and you therefore get the strictest of the four death penalties. Those who are concluding Masechet Sanhedrin today, today's the big siyum, Masechet Sanhedrin. Tomorrow starts Makos. If you've never learned the daf, tomorrow's a great place to pick it up. Masechet Makos. Makos is a great Masechet, a short Masechet. Within a month, you'll make a siyum, you'll feel good about yourself. Pick it up tomorrow. We have three daf yomis a day at BRS. We have in the morning with Rabbi Sugarman at 7. We have after Mincha Maariv in Hebrew with Asher Esabag. We have in the evening, I think at 8:15, with Stuart Silverman in English. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there is Dalad Mises Beis Din. We have four death penalties. Which is the strictest of them? Which of the death penalties is the harshest? It's Machlokas, but how do we paskin? Skila is the worst. So the Makna points out that when you curse one of your parents, then it's as if you cursed Hashem, and therefore you get the strictest death penalty. But the Gemara said, Haka, when it comes to striking your parent, Haka, vada yevshar. You can't strike Hashem. So therefore, though it too gets a death penalty, which death penalty does it get? Chenek. It gets a lower level because it doesn't have an element as if you stroke, you were to hit Hashem, because you can't physically hit Hashem. That's an insight of the Makna. Vayter. Let's go a little bit more. Tana Rabbanan. Shlosha Shutfin Hein Ba'adam, we have three partners, as we just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Va'ava V'Imo. Hashem, the father, and the mother. B'zman Sh'adam Mechabit Es Ava V'Imo, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ala Ani Aleihem, Ki Iludarti B'neihem V'Chibduni. When we show honor to our parents, then Hashem says, I consider it, oh, Shalom Aleichem, it's great to have you. I consider it as if the children honored me as well. Hashem says, I view the attitude towards parents has projected on me as well. So when they honor their parents, I consider it as if ki'ilu darti b'neim, I lived among them, v'chibduni. I lived among them and they honored me. And they honored me. Let's look at the Maharsha for a minute. Yeah. Oh, good. Phil's making an excellent ha'ara. A moment ago we said Shari Shloshtan Shutfin Bo means in the creation. Now when we say Shlosha Shutfin, it means in the continued role of parent to that child. Child could be in their 40s or 50s. Child could be, my brother's an emergency room physician, and he recently treated someone 103 in the emergency room who came in the middle of the night. And the daughter, who's 82, was leaning against the wall and she said, I can't do this anymore. I'm too old to come in the middle of the night and take care of my mother. She's 82, the daughter, taking care of her mother. So you could be 82 years old, you still have an obligation to kibbut ava'im. You never graduate. I don't know, we'll get into it today, but there's the notion of kibbut ava'im even l'achar misa. How do you honor even after death? But certainly in life, there's an obligation. You could be in your 80s or 90s, you still have to honor your parent. So here, the continued Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Imo B'zman Sh'adam Mechaber Es Ava V'Imo. Here, the Shutfus was not just at the moment of creation, at conception. It's a Shutfus, it's a partnership which continues. Whatever role parents have, even to an 82-year-old, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the third partner in that relationship to the 82-year-old as well. Go to page 3 and you have the Chidushei Maharsha of Shmuel Idels. And the Maharsha is Chidushei Agados here on the left-hand column. There's two comments I want to bring to your attention. Number one, Hishra Kosov Kibra Ve'em Lechvura Mokom, nearly Dachikamar. Devada ain't shoving mamish to Kibra Ve'em, Machalomashke, Loshaich Bimokom. Vechain Bimora, Lomid Bimokomo, Velo Vechule, Kozen lo shayach b'makom. So what does it mean? The Gemara said, Hishve ha-kosuf. What is the language of Hishve ha-kosuf kivet ha-ve'em l'chvod ha-makom? Hishve means, what is shave? Equal. We create an equation. It's equal. Equal the relationship to our parents and the relationship to Hashem. Just like I have to have kivet ha-ve'em, I have kavod la-makom. Just like I have to have mora ha-ve'em, I have to have awe and reverence for my parents, I have to have it from Hashem. Comes along the Marsha and says, what do you mean just like? What do you mean equal? How are you Mekayim? How do you fulfill kavod to your parents? You get them their slippers, you bring them the safer, and you change the thermostat till they're comfortable, and even you have to spend money. But can you get a Kodesh Baruch Hu with slippers? Can you get a Kodesh Baruch Hu with a cold drink? So what does it mean? And even Mora. How do you fulfill Mora Aveim? You don't sit in their place, you don't correct them, you don't call them by their name. So, but you could sit in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's place? What does that mean? So says the Marsha, Koza lo shayach b'makom, abal hishva osan ha-kosu, b'chad lishna lo malacha, d'chein b'din la-hashvasam, l'fi she-shloshen shutfim bo, ke namasik d'machabdin ki ilu kibet gamas ha-makom. It means, of course, it doesn't express itself equally to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and to parents, but if it could, it would. Whatever there is, the overlap, that's what exists. The obligation to honor is the key. Continuing to the next comment. That's the Hishva. So what? Thank you so much. When you get your father a drink or his slippers, you got a Kodesh Baruch Hu with slippers. Ah, you can't get a Kodesh Baruch Hu with slippers. But that's covered. You have to show Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. B'kamer d'malani aleim ki'ilu darti b'neim. Continues the Marsha. D'hainu. Shame Yud Hey. What's Shame Yud Hey? Hamachaber Meshatev Shame Ish V'Isha Kedarminim Besota. Notice the Marsha picks up on the parallel language. It says here that when you honor your parents, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Hashem says, Malani Aleim Kiilu Darti Beineihem. So if you live in a home where the children are honoring the parents, Hashem says, I also live in that house. I reside there as well. Mala Kiilu. As if I live there as well. Says the Marsha, what's that reminiscent of? The Gemara in Sota. What does the Gemara in Sota say? Ish v'isha. If a husband and wife, shalom b'neihem, if they have peace between them, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, it's as if, shechina shore b'neihem, it's as if Hashem says, I live there too. So the couple thinks they have an apartment by themselves. It's not true. If they have shalom bayis and a great marriage, Hashem is there too. And that's the yud of ish, and the hay of Isha, Kodesh Baruch Hu lives there. What if they lack peace, says the Gemara in Sota? Then it's like Eish Ochla. It's as if the fire consumes them. Why? Because if you don't have peace, you kick out the Yud and the hay, you extract Hashem's name. What's left? Aleph Shin. So when they take the husband, the man, and the woman's name, and you combine them, you have a Yud and a hay, it spells the name of Hashem, he's there too. When you lack Shalom, then it's as if you kick Hashem's name out, all you have left is Eish. Says the Marsha, our Gemara is using a language which is like a cross-reference. It's reminding us, just like what was true about the husband and wife, when you have Shalom Bayis, you have Hashem, so too when you have Kibbut Aveim, Ukilu Kabdani Aben, Kein Tzarech Lomar, Uvrov Nischos, Karsinim Chibduni Bevov, V'koy Gam La'aveim, Shazach Ulotzesmim L'gadol Ben Kosher Kazeh, and so forth. Okay, so just an interesting marsha that the language of our Gemara is reminiscent of the Gemara in Sota. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Niyeh B'Dvaro. Okay. Continuing back to the Gemara. Back to the Gemara. Rebbe Omer. Golev Yadu Lefnei Misha Omer Vaya Olam. Who's that? It's not a trick question. Who's that? Misha Amar Vahaya Olam. Thank you, Akash Baruch Hu. Got nervous there for a minute. Shehaben mechaber es imo yosem me'aviv, v'bnei shem mishadlato bedvarim. L'ficha chiktim Akash Baruch Hu, ki b'davil chivareim. V'chein galuy v'yadu lefnei Misha Amar Vahaya Olam, shehaben mesiyarem me'aviv yosem me'imo, neshem alam da Torah. L'ficha chiktim Akash Baruch Hu, mora ha'em l'mora ha'av. It's a famous Gemara. If you look at the pasuk obligating us to honor parents, the order is you have to honor your father, then your mother. If you look at the pasuk that you have to have awe of your parents, there the order is the mother and then the father. So the Gemara is picking up on this discrepancy. Why in one mitzvah does the father come first, and in the other mitzvah the mother comes first? Now in both mitzvahs you have to honor both your mother and father, and you have to have awe both of your mother and father. But why does the Torah alternate? Why does it list them differently? And the Gemara tells us that it's known. The answer is revealed. Galui v'adu lefnei misha amar v'haya olam. It's a strange language, right? It's a funny response. What's it telling you? I think it's telling you the following. I think I heard in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. You know, the Rav who introduced us to this word, ontological. We have ontological truths. What's an ontological truth? It means it's not subject to time and place and circumstance, society, the ethos and the mores of the time. It's an ontological truth. It is part of the human psyche that transcends time and place. So when the Gemara uses this language, that galui v'yadu lefnei misha amar v'haya olam, that it's revealed before Hashem, what it means is Hashem planted within the human psyche, Hashem planted within human behavior. It's not subject to time and place. It's an ontological truth. It's a truth that is inherent within man. And what is that truth? The truth is that a child more naturally honors the mother than the father. Why? Because who wakes up in the middle of the night when the child throws up? Who wakes up in the middle of the night when the child has a fever? Who made dinner? And who sat and worked on the homework? And who got them dressed? And who bathed them? And who did all of this? Now I know we're living in a greater egalitarian world where fathers and mothers and so on, but the Gemara is talking about in the traditional setup, in the traditional makeup. I'm not commenting on changing times, but I think even within the growing, changing world, there are certain things a father can do, there are certain things he can't. For example, although some are trying to change this too, but a father can't carry a baby for 9 months. Every child knows, especially after they then get married and have children of their own and live with a woman who was pregnant for 9 months and experience childbirth. Every child knows what their mother went through for 9 months to carry them. So even if the father did everything after the fact, minimally you know that the mother did something the father is incapable of doing. If the mother nursed, you know the mother nursed inconveniently in the middle of the night and couldn't go out with friends and couldn't, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says it's an ontological truth. It's goli yadua, it's known in the human psyche that a person feels a hakaras hatov and therefore a greater honor for a mother. So the Torah has to say, kavedas avicha v'asimecha. Don't forget that other guy who was barely home, he was working, he never, you know, whatever. Don't forget to honor him and love him too. And the opposite is also true. Now, we usually misquote this Gemara. When people tell the Gemara, what do they say? You naturally have awe of your father. Why? When they misquote the Gemara, what do they say? Because who was the strict one in the home? The father was the strict one. So we misquote it. We say, oh, the father was strict and the mother was more flexible and lenient. So you have to remember, you have to have awe of your mother too. But that's not what the Gemara says. Look carefully at the Gemara. It's also galav yaduf ni mishamar vayolam shaben misyare me aviv yoser me'imab neshemelamdo Torah. The father transmits Torah to the son, and that should generate a sense of awe and reverence. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remind the child, don't forget to have some awe and reverence of your mother too. Maybe your relationship is more casual with your mother, it's more relaxed, she's more forgiving, foreboding, flexible. Don't forget that you have to have an awe and reverence for your mother, just like your father. Okay?
Say it the other way, because the kids all go to school today, the parents are not, father's not always able.
That's why they say it? Okay, but that doesn't excuse the father still from learning Torah with the child. Okay, weiter. Tana Tome Kamedir of Nachman, Bizman Shah the Mitzaris of Vizimo. So now we have the inverse of the comment we made a moment ago. Bizman, when a person is aggravating their parents, Omar Kosh Baruch Yafa Asisi Shalo Darti Beneim. Shil Male Darti Beneim Tsiaruni. Baruch Hashem, I don't live with these lowlives. Baruch Hashem, I don't live with these ingrates. Baruch Hashem, I don't live with these Kafui Tov. Because look at that, they're treating their parents. Remember, we're three partners. If this is how they're treating two-thirds of the partnership, then that's how they'd be treating me too. So if you can't show kibbut av aim, this is the inverse of the Gemara a moment ago, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm out of here, I have no interest. Weiter. Omar of Yitzchak. Kol over avera baseisa kilu dochek ragle ashchina. A person who violates an avera in private is as if they push away the legs of the shchina. What does that mean? push away the legs of the Shekhinah. It means it's as if they're pushing away Hashem. Why? Because you don't violate the Aveira in public. Why not? Because you don't want people to see, think less of you. Your reputation or standing to go down. But if you're willing to violate Aveira in private, what you're saying is, Hashem is not with me in private. B'chadre chadarim, I'm by myself. Hashem only sees or holds me accountable for what happens in public. So if you do an Aveira b'seiser, Kiludochek ragli hashchina. Shneamar, Komar Hashem Hashemayim kisiv ha'aret hadom raglai. That Hashem is found in every place, in the heavens and on the earth. And if a person hides or does an Aveira in private, it's as if they eliminate Hashem from that place. What's the premise of the Gemara? The Bali Musa, Rabbeinu Bachai writes this explicitly in others. That what's the premise of the Gemara? It's impossible to sin if you believe Hashem is there. In the moment of indiscretion, in the moment of poor judgment, subconsciously, you've essentially extracted, you've purged Hashem from that place. You have a moment of doubt or uncertainty. You create in your own mind doubt or uncertainty. But if you knew with certainty that Hashem is there, and that Hashem has an expectation, and that Hashem will hold you accountable, it would be impossible to ignore Him in His presence. So Elamai, if you're ignoring Him, you must not feel you're in His presence. You're bidochek ragle shechina. You've pushed Him away. You've pushed Him away. You've purged Him from that space, from that spot. Tosfos points out here something very important. Tosfos points out. Tosfos kola over aver b'seisa kilo doche gragle shechina hainu what's Tosfos talking about the Gemara in the first parak of Chagiga? The Gemara there in Chagiga says, "Imro adam sheyitzrom is gaber alav yelech lamakom shein makir nosov yelabesh v'yilbo shchoren v'yisatev shchoren v'yasa mashali bochafetz v'ayachal shem shemayim beforhesia." The Gemara in Chagiga cautions us that if you know you cannot rein in your yitzhara, you know you're going to give in, then wear black. And adorn yourself in black and go and find a place where no one recognizes you and at least don't make a chilul Hashem. So the most important thing is overcome your Yetzirah. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. The Gemara's language that Torah's Tavlin, why was it like into a spice, not to a medicine, to Sam, Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin, how that works. Schlep him to the base medrash, the Gemara said, but you failed. You couldn't schlep him to the base medrash. You can't be misgaber. You can't defeat the Yetzirah. So the Gemara Chagiga says, so go to some place where no one recognizes you and wear a baseball cap and try to not stand out as a Jew. And at least if you're going to be Michal, at least if you're going to violate the Samavera, at least don't be. So what happened? Over here we're saying, don't violate Beseser. The Gemara Chagiga sounds like it's saying, go be as besaser, go be as privately private as you can. So Tosfos reconciles it very succinctly, and he says, "Hainu d'matzik kayif liyitzrei, k'demucha b'kar kama d'chagiga." If you can overcome your yetzahara, then realize that if you were to give in, you'd be being dochek ragle shechina. But if you can't give in, if you can't conquer the yetzahara, that's when you go to the private location. Okay.
Oh,
you wear a white shirt and black pants. When you go to do an Aveira, you even put on a black shirt. That's the diuk, Phil. That's the diuk. That's the diuk. Okay. We daven for this every single morning. What do we say every morning? Among the first things we say, Li'olam, Yehe Adam, Yer Shemayim, B'Seisru V'Goloi. The Bali Musa say, it's punctuated wrong. Should be punctuated. Li'olam, Yehe Adam. The first thing to wake up and remember is Li'olam, Yehe Adam. Be a mensch. Then B'Seisru V'Goloi. On Shabbos Shuvah, we spoke about Rav Schwab in his sefer on the Siddur. Rav Schwab has pshat. Li'olam Yadam Yir Hashemayim B'Seisru V'Goloi. B'Seisru that your Yir Hashemayim should not be worn on your sleeve. Don't impose your chumras and Yir Hashemayim on others. Don't try to impress others with Yir Hashemayim. Real Yir Hashemayim is measured by who you are in private, which is completely consistent with our Gemara. Because it says, if you are a tzaddik in public, but you're over avera b'seser, kilo dochek ragel eshchina. You don't really have yirah shemayim, because you, when you're in private, you think Hashem doesn't see what you're doing when no one's around. If you don't, then you're not really a real tzaddik. Okay, weiter. Once we got onto this topic, that if you push Hashem away, you know, before we go weiter, let's go through Kivud Aveim a little bit. Go to page 4. We're going to have further weiter sugyas on Kivud Aveim. Who has to pay? To what degree is Kivud Aveim? But let's give some background. We've already had so many references to Kivud Aveim. Where does Kivud Aveim come from? We have two makoros. One in Yisro, one in Veschanan, both from the Aseres Adibros. And you see there, on top of page 4, I underline two phrases that appear in the second Aseres HaDibros that don't appear in the first. And Laman Yitav Lach. What is added with those phrases that you don't have in the first Aseres HaDibros? The Ramban answers it. I encourage you to look up that Ramban on your own. The Abarbanel here has another discussion. The Abarbanel wonders, what do you mean, Laman Yarichun Yamecha? Kibud Aveim, you promise longevity? We all know people who specialized in honoring their parents and died tragically young. We know people who step all over their parents and they have remarkable longevity. So what's the promise of Laman Yarichun Yamecha? The Abarbanel gives a couple answers, but one of them is my favorite answer. I live with it. I think about it all the time. I quote this Abarbanel often. Abarbanel says, Laman Yarichun Yamecha is not talking about the quantity of your life. It's talking about the quality of your life. How you treat your parents will be very carefully watched and observed by whom? Your children. So when your parents get old, if you take them into your home, if you take care of them, if you spend your money, take an extra job to make sure they have all the care they need, if you invest in honoring them, when you get old, your children are going to learn, and that's exactly what they're going to do for you. And if you get rid of your parents and it's someone else's problem, you neglect them, you don't come down and visit them, you have nothing to do with them, then your children are going to see. You know, we are a interesting community in South Florida. We have many, many, many members who grow old here and their children don't live here. And the way, the attitude they have to their parents, some come down constantly and stock the fridge of their loved ones and call and take care of and hire help and they're invested and so on. And others, you need a search party in order to find their children. And there's a total expectation that the neighbors, the community is going to take care. And you know who the biggest loss of that attitude is? Not the elderly parent. Because others will step in. We are Rahmanim b'nei Rahmanim. We are kind and compassionate people. And they will be taken care of. The biggest loss is not for the parent. It's for the children who are not honoring the parent. Why? Because when they get old, that's exactly what their children are going to do for them. Exactly. So says the Abarbanel, Laman Yarichun Yamecha is not describing quantitatively you'll live a longer life. But Laman Yarichun Yamecha is qualitatively. When you get old, your children will be there for you. What's this idea we saw here in the Gemara? The two sides of the coin. Shlosha Shutfin, we have three partners. Kosh Baruch Hu, and the mother and father, the father and mother. And when you honor your parents, Hashem says, Ki ilu darti b'neyem, I'm also in the house. And when you dishonor your parents, when you aggravate them, Kosh Baruch Hu says, Baruch Hashem, Yofa asisi shlo darti b'neyem. It's good I didn't live there. What is the core of this? So Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel writes, it's on the bottom of page 4. Mishar Shei Mitzvah Zu, what's at the core of this mitzvah? Sheitein Elibo Ki Ava Eimim Siba Seyosu Ba'olam. That your parents are the reason you exist. V'alkein Be'emez Roi Lilas Islam Kol Kavod V'chol Tu El Sheyuchal. I wouldn't be here without them. I mamash wouldn't exist. There's all sugyas that deal with this, tshuvas that deal with, what if your parents are Rishayim? Do you have to honor wicked parents? Now how do you define wicked? Your parents aren't observant. Today, that's not the definition of a Rasha. Your parent is abusive. There's big shilas. An abusive parent, are they deserving of kavod? But here the Sefer HaChinuch says, let's stop short of that, right? Before you get to the shilas, you just don't like your parents. You don't think they happen to be the best parents. They weren't so nurturing and loving. They weren't great to you. So you think you're not obligated to honor them. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, minimally, you know what they gave you? Your life. Keim eviu la'olam. And you know what? In your first few years of life, however independent you think you are today, you weren't independent at 6 months old. Someone put food in your mouth, someone changed your diaper, someone bathed you, someone took care of you. So if you can cultivate within yourself the attitude of gratitude and appreciation of where you come from, that you're not deep independent, but you're dependent, then you'll come to that conclusion also about Hashem. We talked about last week, that timeline where you're looking forward. If you stop and look back to honor your parents, you'll see your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents, and all the way on the end of the line, behind them all, you'll see the Ribbono Shel Olam. I went to this wedding in New York yesterday. Someone asked me how the wedding was. So it was in Newark. It was in New Jersey. I came to Newark. I was with one of my daughters. I said, you know what? I'm going to get to eat in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I hadn't been in Elizabeth in a gazillion years. My grandparents, my great-grandparents were in Elizabeth before Rabbi Teitz. To go a long way back in Elizabeth. I took my daughter to my grandparents' house on Hillside, 156 Hillside Road, Elizabeth, New Jersey. She's like, it's cold. What are we doing here? I said, I want you to see where we come from. It's the house. We're not knocking on the door. I want to tell you all about how I used to play stoop baseball when I was a little kid, throwing the baseball against the front steps and what we did here. And not just your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Because if we can teach the next generation, stop looking forward thinking you're the first one who ever lived. Turn around and see you have parents, you have grandparents, you have great-grandparents. So then, says the Sefer HaChinuch, who do they see behind all of that? If you can get in the habit of turning around to see who comes before you, then you'll see all the way back to the source of all who came before you, and that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that is the core and the source of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. The Mikhtav Me'elyo also expands on this idea. How far does this mitzvah go? So Shulchan Aruch writes, Siman Resh Mem, Siman of Shulchan Yerodea of Kibud Av V'Em, I'm on page 5. Echad Ish Ve'echad Ish Shav Mekavod of Moreh Shel Av V'Em, and we talked about this last week. Everyone, men and women, are obligated to honor the mother and father. The woman's chi of a just, we talked about this last week. We paskin Allah Lamaisa. Her first devotion is to her husband before her father. And then last week, according to the Sefer Chasidim, she comes to the table with the bowl of soup. Does she put it in front of her husband? Does she put it in front of her father? Halacha lemaisa, she puts it in front of her husband. Only before she can put it down, the husband says, give it to your father. Give it to your father. Not only are we obligated to honor our parents, also in the same siman and shulchan aruch, sif chavdal, chayiv adam lachabed chamav. One is obligated to honor their in-laws. I hear people refer to their in-laws by their first name. I cringe. You're obligated to honor your in-laws. By the way, for the same reason. Because ishto kegufo, the whole reason Sefer HaChinuch said you honor your parents is you wouldn't be here without them. Well, if you view your wife as your other half, often your better half, then the other half of you wouldn't be here without them. So true, they didn't diaper you and nurse you and feed you and pay for your tuition when you were a little child, your in-laws, but they did it for your other half. So the attitude you bring to your in-laws reveals everything about your attitude in marriage. If you can't bring yourself to love your in-laws despite their shortcomings, idiosyncrasies, not my in-laws are perfect, I'm talking about your in-laws. If you can't bring yourself to love your in-laws despite that, then it means you don't see your wife as ishto kegufo. Look at the Sefer Charedim. Yes, outlaws are wanted. Outlaws are wanted. I got a long list of those jokes, Rabbi. I got a long list of those. But in the case my father-in-law is listening, I, you know. So anyway, the Sefer Charedim writes, Ha'ish chayev b'chvod chama v'chamoso, v'tayma mishum diish v'ishto k'chad gufo chashivei. Because if you can't bring yourself to honor your in-laws, then what you're really saying is you don't think your wife is your other half. You don't feel your wife is your other half. If you feel your wife is your other half, then a piece of you wouldn't be here without them, which is the exact same idea that drives Kibud Av V'Em to begin with. So that is the origin, the obligation of honoring your in-laws. Yeah. With all due respect, understood, You have parents today who say to their children, we're buddies, we're friends, call me my first name. The in-laws have the status of parents. Legabe kibud av v'eim. Yes. Yes.
Of which we are all probably in that state.
We're going to come to it in a moment. Okay. We're going to come to it in a moment. I wasn't glossing over it. Understood. Not all of you. Some of us maybe soon. Not within a few years. Who knows? Okay. B'chol yom she'yavo. The Sefer Chassidim concludes, quoting the Chidah, that... the Chidah quotes the Sefer Chassidim. Sha'af api sha'af she'mochol ha'kvod ha'kvod ha'mochol ha'potar medine odom. A very, very interesting Sefer Chassidim. And it makes sense based on the Gemara we're seeing. Zog the Sefer Chassidim. Even though halacha lemaisa, a father's allowed to be mochel al kvodo, so the father can say, call me my first name, sit in my seat, argue with me, don't bring me my slippers. And the child is entitled to follow the mechila of the parent. Says the Sefer Chassidim, that's only true b'dinei Adam, according to the strict halacha here. But b'dinei Shamayim, it's ain't kvodo machol. B'dinei Shamayim, we do not consider it to be forgiven, the honor. Why is that now, you know, based on our Gemara? What would you say, what's the pshat in the Sefer Chassidim? Why? Why should we distinguish between dinei Adam and dinei Shamayim? Whether you could be mochel? What? Because I can be mochel, what do me? But if when you honor me, you're also honoring Hashem, I can't be mochel on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Ribbono Shalom didn't appoint me his agent for Mechila. So yeah, b'dinei Adam, I could be mochel. But b'dinei Shemayim, if I'm mochel, so you call me by my first name and you sit in my seat and you have no respect for authority and you have no respect for the elderly, then you'll have no respect for the Ribbono Shalom. And I can't be mochel b'dinei Shemayim. Chai Adam says, kibud av v'eim is fulfilled, b'machshava, b'maisa, u'b'dibur. It's in how we think, it's how we act, it's in the way we refer, it's in how we speak. Now the question of grandparents. Gemara here talks about parents. And we extrapolate in-laws. Because Ishto Kagufo. What about grandparents? Are we obligated in Kibud Av V'eim to grandparents? So Tshuvas V'Hanogos of Sternbach has a tshuva on page 6. I think it's Chelek Bezer Gimel, Reish Ayin Zayin. And he says the following. He quotes our Ramah, Yeshom Shein Adam Chai Bechavar Avi V'Imo, from the Ma'arik, Ve'eno Nir Ali, El Shechai Bechavar Avi V'Yosem Me'Avi V'Imo. Two opinions in the Ramah, either you're exempt from honoring grandparents, or you have to honor them even more. And the Sternbach gives his pshat. By the way, when we say, according to the Ma'arik, that you're exempt from honoring grandparents, what does that mean? You could trip the old man, you can be rude to the old guy. Of course not. You still have to treat all people V'Avta L'Recha Kamocha. And on top of that, they say v'atakum v'adarta p'nei zaken. You have a halachic obligation. You know, the only place that we see this today, it's a new thing. Halavai, it should overlap and overflow than more than just there. But you go to a wedding now, when the grandparents walk down the aisle, everybody stands. It's a beautiful thing, Baruch Hashem, the fulfilling the mitzvah, the chiyuv, to stand when the grandparents walk down.
Sometimes.
Halavai, that it should extend beyond. So the Ma'arik, the first opinion of the Ramah, doesn't mean you could trip the old guy. You still have to treat him like you have to treat any person, and all the more so an elderly person. But it doesn't have the status with all the details like a parent. The Ramah, the second opinion, says you have to. What's the question? Says Rav Sternbach. Nirashim aviv chayu mechabir aviv aviv kishyesh lo aviv b'zeh nachas ruach yesh b'zeh mitzvahs kibur av aval lo chasha b'kibur av mamash. If you understand, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that the whole reason I have to honor my parent is they brought me into this world, they fed me, they clothed me, they paid my tuition. My grandparent maybe later paid my tuition, but the grandparent didn't bring me to this world, didn't wake up in the middle of the night, didn't nurse me, and so on. So says Rav Sternbach, what is the source? Where does the chiyuv come from that I have to honor a grandparent? Because that's how I honor my parent. When I honor the grandparent, I'm honoring their child, my parent. So therefore, what's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina whether the obligation to honor the grandparent is direct or the obligation to honor the grandparent is through the father up to the parent? What's the nafkamina? So one nafkamina is a conflict between them. What's a more pashut nafkamina? What happens if the father died? The father's not here anymore to derive nachas ruach from the way I treat his father. Says Rav Shtrumbach, and Mes Aviv, Mechabit Aviv Aviv, Keshar Zekenim. The Yosef Neshu Gidol Aviv. About in great Gayakibit Bezekim Aviv Vimo. If the father died, you're not obligated in Kibit Av to the grandparent the way you would to a parent. Yes, you have to show him love. More than even the average person because he gave birth to your father, your mother. But still not the same as a father or mother. Can you, Mistama, you get two mitzvahs, you're saying. When you honor a grandparent, you're getting two mitzvahs. Yeah, I think so. If you skip down to the next underline, similarly, he says, this is where the obligation of honoring your in-laws derives from. The Rambam doesn't even mention it. Moshe bowed down and kissed his father-in-law. So the only core obligation of kavod is to parents. When you honor grandparents, it's through the parents. When you honor your in-laws, it's through honoring your wife. And similarly, he would say the same thing. Chalila, a person's wife predeceases them, they're no longer obligated to honor their in-laws in the sense of kibra ve'ein. You still have to be nice to them. Atulecha kamocha. You have to treat them like a zakein. However, with the parameters of kibra ve'ein, you no longer would have to. So Rav Shtrumbach sees that the only mitzvah proper of kibra ve'ein is to parents. True, we have also an element of it to grandparents or to in-laws, but those are both indirect, either through parents or through the spouse with the nafkamina if they would predecease. Yes. I think it's lav dafka. I think they go together. I think they all go together. Yes.
In the world we live in,
yes,
there is often a financial giving and taking from older people.
Yes. So that's a karas hatov.
So that even after other aspects of the relationship have been severed, you still have a gevaldika karas hatov.
Right. Correct. But that's the karas hatov I would have to my neighbor if they bailed me out financially too. The intrinsic kibbut of the aim is only to your actual parents. Now, Rav Shtrumbach in a different tshuva. Yeah. Right. You do. The Shulchan Aruch actually quotes that the grandchildren have certain nihuge avelos. We don't really practice them today. And the nosa kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, I think like not taking a hot shower. And the nosa kelim there say, it's through the father. It's through the parents, the same thing. So then you wouldn't have it. Then you wouldn't have it, the same as this. Rav Shtrumbach in a different tshuva, which I didn't bring for you, it's the tshuva right before, Reish Ayin Vav, also bemoans something else. If it's true what he said a moment ago, not in his tshuva, beforehand, from the Sefer that the Chidah said, brings from the Sefer Chasidim, that Mechila only works b'dinei Adam, but not b'dinei Shemayim, so all the time today, we have that people don't stand up when their parents walk in the room. One of the halachas of honoring a parent is that when your parent walks in the room, you got to stand up.
At least once a day.
We are so far away from that you're all looking at me like I'm crazy. That the havamina, that a child will stand up when a parent or grandparent walks in the room. So how is it possible if really we shouldn't be mochel? So Rav Shtrumbach says, Mashakiyom lamatzono shenazarim bezeveinosim kohogen, alav sha'avayim mochlen akvodom, mikom makom yisod chiv akim apnei ha'av, shehukash kvodom lachvodam makom, imkein chayavim lakum, v'chein dover zemol l'chinach ha'yoladom l'yirav v'derech eretz mea ha'orim, v'lachein roi l'chatchila l'chanachem lakum, melakom ha'shnei pa'amim b'yom. He believes, he writes in the tshuva, parents should educate the children to stand up twice a day. You live together, you come in and out of the room every minute, you're going to get a lot of calisthenics, you're going to get sore. So it doesn't mean every 2 seconds, but twice a day you stand up. And I would add that it shouldn't be the parent demanding it for themselves, It works out well here that there's two-thirds of the shutfus living in the house. The parent should be makbid on the covet of the other parent. Your mother walks in the room, did you stand up? Your father walked in the room, did you stand up? They shouldn't be mochel on this. We see the impact of the trickle down. The more we're mochel and mochel and mochel, the less there's respect for authority in the broadest sense and in general. Okay? He says twice a day. It's not like the Shach B'chav Kumecha. He's randomly picking twice a day. What? It should at least still, it should still continue to be practiced. Yes. Oh. Okay. So it's connected, right? So it is Taka B'shach B'chav Kumecha, right? You shouldn't have to do it more than the way that you honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's equal. Although, if your father's not mochel, you will have to do it more than twice a day because
he's there.
Each time you encounter, you're saying even then you wouldn't be chayev. It doesn't require mechila beyond two. Interesting. Who brings that down? Okay. Oh, for the Rebbe. Okay. So you're assuming the similar equation. So we saw based on the Sefer HaChinuch is that the whole essence of this mitzvah and the Gemara's now makes sense. In other words, keep it out of aim without understanding Shlosh HaShutfin doesn't make sense. So what's it you gave birth to me? Why can't they be mochel? Why can't we be good friends? The answer is the parents represent the third partner and they're not entitled to be mochel for him as well. Let's go a little bit weiter. Gemara continues. Once we got on this notion that if you're over Aver B'Seser, you're Dochek Ragla Shechina, the Gemara continues with this idea of the Yir Shemayim we have to live with. Amr Bishur ben Levi. We're on the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Yeah? Amr Bishur ben Levi. Asa la'adam she'yalech arba amas b'kom ezekufa. Person can't walk four amas with their head held high, with their nose in the air. An arrogant posture. Shenamar melocho la'aretz kvodo. Because when you walk around like you're all that, your chest is out, your nose is high in the air, you're all that, so you are denying melocho la'aretz kvodo. Kadosh Baruch Hu fills the whole world, like Rashi says, mashma mishtarei v'yored lamata v'azokev kamaso nira kedochev. Kadosh Baruch Hu is melocho la'aretz. He's not just in Shemayim, he's here on the aretz. When you walk around with your nose in the air, you're pushing him out of the way, similar to what we just saw, kilo doche gragle shchina. So you can't walk around, chalila, you can't walk around that way. What's the shir? What does this mean? It's halacha lemaisa. It's something which is halacha lemaisa. So what's the shir of walking around bekoma zakufa? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe, brings it down, page 7. In your booklet. In Siman Beis Sifhei. V'yakum v'yelech b'chlifa sarosh ma'at. Tanhagas ha-boker. It's how you wake up in the morning. Levishas begadim. It's how you get dressed. So says the Alter Rebbe, you walk with a little, looking down a little bit. In the posture of humility. V'lo b'kom ha-zikufa. V'garon nato ikinyin shenemar. T'elachna n'tuyo ha-zgaron m'shkakros einayim. V'afila pachos. Even though the Gemara qualified it and said you can't walk four amos this way, the Alter Rebbe says even less than four amos. What is the measure? If your nose is so high in the air like this that you can't see your feet, you're walking around, your nose is so high in the air like this that you can't even see your feet. But people who walk around like this, their nose in the air, so arrogant, they have to walk very, they can't rush anywhere. You'll trip over your, you walk in so arrogant like you're, you know, the King of England, you're going to trip over your own 2 feet. You should walk instead with your head a little bit down.
Some of us haven't seen our feet.
Okay. On the other hand, says the Alter Rebbe, you can't walk around too humble. You're going to walk around like this, you know, crouched over. Like, who is he to think he's so humble? You know the old story. Who is he to think he's a nothing? You're going to trip over your own feet too. You're not looking up at all. So it's the Shvil HaZahav. You have to be able to walk that golden mean that the Rambam describes. You can't be Zokif. You can't have your nose in the air. You can't be too hunched over. So I'll tell you something extraordinary. I don't know if it's true. Any audiologists here? Any doctors who know the structure of the inner ear? I never looked it up. I heard from a Rebbe of mine, Reuven Leuchter, in Eretz Yisrael, a big Talmud of Rav Volbe. So Rav Leuchter said, he likes to study these. I don't know how much he admits this in public, but he likes to read biology books and medical books. He gets a geschmack out of it. So he says, if you look at the inner ear is responsible for balance. So how should... Part of the ear. Something in the ear is responsible for balance. So how should the head... At what level should the head be in order to be in perfect balance? Looking up, looking straight, looking down. So he said, he told me, I would have thought the head is looking straight ahead. That's when you're in perfect balance. You look up, you look down. That's when you're starting to make adjustments. If you're like this, you're in perfect balance. He said, it's not true. He said, your head needs to be down a little bit. Exactly the way the Gemara describes, that's when the, you know, the... what do they call that? When you're trying to hang a picture, you put the...
Level.
The level. So when does the level show that it's exactly right? When you're looking down a drop. The level is right. You're perfectly balanced when you're looking... Again, I didn't look it up. I don't even know how to look it up.
It's correct. Physiologically.
You know that?
I had an issue with both.
But you know that? How you hold your head?
Cochlear vestibular therapy. And the way they taught me to... was fix my eyes
yeah.
in something in the distance and keep my head.
That's what Lichter told me. Yes.
Not for the challenge, but I did teach it for
athletes. Oh.
The semicircular can have attached to the cochlea, and it's designed for you, it's like liquid, it balances. It would be logical that facing straight, not down, not up, keeps the
I'll have to find out where he read it. That's what he said.
I mean, he was teaching Hashkafa.
No, but he was bringing a raya from physiology. So, okay, whether it's true or not physiologically, that's the Gemara, and the Alter Rebbe says you gotta find that the Shvila Zahav not to be Bekoma Zakufa. Good. Vayter in the Gemara. That's the shear of it. The Alter Rebbe is bringing what is the shear of Koma Zakufa. Okay. Vayter in the Gemara, Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua lo masagi arba amas begilei rosh. Once we mentioned not walking around with your nose in the air arrogantly for four amas, so now Rav Huna throws in that you also can't go around bareheaded. Amar shchina l'mala miroshi. And why did Rav Huna have the practice of not walking dalet amas with his head uncovered? He said the shchina is above my head. How could I possibly walk around that way? We saw this earlier. You remember we saw it a couple daf ago. Also the idea of not walking around Begilei Rosh. Question here on the Gemara is several questions. Number one, is this Midas Chasidus or is this a din? Is it halacha you can't walk around with your head bare? Or is it a Midas Chasidus? What's going on over here? So if you turn to page 9, you have the tour. The tour says the following. Yechasa Rosh HaKadish Nam Yasam Rafuna Lozal Arba Amas Begilei Rosh. Amar shchina lamala meiroshi. Rav Huna would cover his head. He wouldn't walk around dalet amos with his head uncovered. With his head uncovered at all. The Darche Tshuva writes, Kasava kolbo b'shem maram, de'ena asur leilach begilei rosh, ki masha amar Rav Huna zayamidas chasidus. This is not a din. The idea you have to wear a yarmulke is not a din, me'ikar a din. It's a midas chasidus. We're going to Peretz, the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, Kosov she'asa leilach begilei rosh lebeis hakneses. Rabbeinu Peretz writes that even if you hold that wearing a yarmulke is midas chasidus, everybody agrees that me'ikar a din, you have to have your head covered in the beis kneses, in the shul. U'pisken ma'aris kosov amash shaltam she'ashaltonim gazal yehuda mukhiyav meshvur lishav begilei rosh l'mitzan b'zim isra behedya. In the secular courts, you have to swear with your head uncovered. Are you allowed to? Page 9. Are you allowed to with your head uncovered? He says, there's no explicit prohibition. The Beis Yosef, he says, Mashmed asr leilach begilei rosh. Ach posha divrei Rabbeinu Atur shal mashmed kedivrei Aram k'mash kasav. So it's a machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Darche Moshe is quoted in the Kolbo, whether the obligation to cover your head is that me'ikar adin, or is that Midas Chasidus? The Manig And here it sounds like the Beis Yosef and others say that it's Mikra Din, whereas the Darche Moshe is quoted in the Kolbo that it's only a Midas Chasidus. So what's the praise? If you hold that it's only a Midas Chasidus, what's the praise here? So the Beis Yosef says the Shevach he's giving himself is that not only did he wear a yarmulke, he wore a second layer. This is the makor of wearing a hat. Not only did he wear a yarmulke, he wore a hat on top of the yarmulke. He wore a second layer. So Mikra Din, strictly speaking, you have to wear the yarmulke. The Midas Chasidus on top of that is even that he wore a second layer. Whereas the other opinion says, no, the whole thing where altogether wearing it is a Midas Chasidus. What are we paskin halacha l'maisa today? So if you turn the page, 10, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes on the bottom, Midas Chasidus shalala tal ramas gila rosh, gam b'yameim shorov amayir gil leilach lefam memarbe b'gila rosh b'neachom b'yameim mahem, ashra zman azesh kulim darcham l'chasas rosh l'olam, asa leilach afil leisha b'gila rosh b'shem tznias. Today, where the custom is to wear a yarmulke, the din has now been transformed. It's not just Midas Chasidus. Today, that's become the custom to wear a yarmulke. Now you have to wear a yarmulke. Mishum tznias. B'Yisraelim kedoshim nitzharim b'zeh mishum tznias. Yimkein aholech afidu ayosha b'gila rosh. Come on, Nachri. Raise it over. B'lav devichukoseim lo seleich. Today, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, it's not just Midas Chasidus, but because today we distinguish and differentiate an observant Jew by their having something on their head, to not have it on your head would be a violation of B'chukoseim lo seleichu. And therefore, Mishum Tzneis. What does he mean, Mishum Tzneis?
How about in the Arab countries?
Atifa, yeah, there they wear. No, there they wear something on their head, Dafka.
Here they wear something on their head,
Dafka. Oh, so you're saying to be uncovered would not be B'chukoseim. True, but still Mishum Tzneis. What does he mean, Mishum Tzneis? I once saw in the Chassidish Sefer, the idea of Tzneis is a very beautiful concept. That just as clothing represents the modesty of the body, a yarmulke is the modesty of the intellect. What did the Gemara mean when Rav Huna says, Shechina l'mayla meiroshi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above me? It's not just I have someone above me that I'm accountable to, but it means that no matter how smart I think I am, there are boundaries to my intellect. That just like I have clothing that's the tznius of the body, the yarmulke is the tznius, the yarmulke is the modesty of the intellect. Maybe that's what the Alter Rebbe here means. That today we wear the yarmulke, Midas Chasidus, Mekir Adin, and so on. Today we wear the yarmulke, Mishum Tznias. We'll go through the halach a little more, halach lemaisa. Today we'll finish this booklet and pick up the Gemara from here, the Mirtz Hashem, next week. Have a great week.